We'll open up to James chapter 1. Okay. I'm going to talk about double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. And we know these scriptures and how important it is to not be double-minded, but we'll just go through some things about it. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, we all lack wisdom. We're human beings. So let us all just ask of God that gives liberally. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Just flip up to chapter 4 just to reinforce the matter. James chapter 4. It's interesting when in the scriptures things are repeated. It's when you kind of get pricked up. James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So this double-mindedness thing is a pretty serious thing before the Lord. It inhibits us. You know, it refers there like waves, you know, rocking around. And if you're double-minded, you're wavering. And it even says there, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, being double-minded. And also in the natural, again, during the week, just talking to a few people, in the natural, we actually respect people when they know what they want. It's just it's something that is just inborn in human beings. When they see someone, they know what they want, there's an immediate respect for that. And even us, you know, we encounter people that disagree with what we stand for, but they still respect us because we hold fast on that and we know what we want and we follow our beliefs as they see wholeheartedly and not with a double-mindedness. And so there is that example in the natural, but here in the scriptures, spiritually speaking, it's so important to not be double-minded. And the opposite to double-mindedness is single-mindedness. So just a great little example in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. There's interesting little aspects here. In the Old Testament, you know, you have slabs of writings and about wars and rules, and every now and again there are little lines that are creep in there that make your ears prick up or your eyes prick up or notice it anyway. And here's another little bit, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And it's at the time when David was about to become king of all of Israel, because up till this point he was just king of Judah. So 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 23. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron, which is where his throne was, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. And it goes through various tribes and even people of the Levites and the priests as well. But then we get down to verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Okay, it's interesting there. They had understanding of the times, this tribe of Issachar. It's the only tribe that had understanding of the times. To know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them, with shield and spear, 30,700. And then just jump down to verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, so he picks up these three, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen, meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. So interesting here how he picks up those three tribes, Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and there's a little breakdown there that for a start, Issachar, they had an understanding of the times. Somehow they were clued in, and they knew that, yep, David was going to be king of all Israel. You know, they could see what was happening ahead of all the other tribes that are mentioned, because the other ones, they just got there, oh yeah, of the tribe of Benjamin, there's this many people, of the tribe of Simeon, there's this many people. But it qualifies here, the men of Issachar had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, and they were single-minded. And they came together as a people with Zebulun, who it says there, they were not of a double heart. The three tribes of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, they're in the same kind of area. And they came together, they brought provisions, and they put all their energy in behind following King David. And if you can imagine that this group of people, thousands of people with captains and everything, with all these provisions of food to have a great big feast, you know, yay, we've got a king over all of Israel finally, and he's a good king. It'll draw the whole of the rest of Israel in, that energy, because they're single-minded to make David their king. And that's the power of single-mindedness. It's infectious, you know, like there's that respect. Like if you can imagine, I don't know, someone from Benjamin thinking, oh, blimey, this mob from Issachar, they know what's going on. Wow, they're really single-minded. They have this understanding that I don't, but yeah, let's draw upon them. You know, this seems like a good thing. And then David was established on the throne firmly. He had all of Israel behind him. And he was established by God, of course. It says elsewhere, many kings had to be established by God, but he, it's interesting, often in the early reign of a king, there's something that comes up, some drama that has to be solved. And they look to the Lord, David looked to the Lord a lot, and that drama is solved. And as a result of that drama being solved, it draws many people and he gets more established on the throne. And so there was this period of time where Saul was there and these dramas going on, and it drew all of nation together, all of Israel together as one nation when they were single-minded and they understood what was going on. Romans chapter 8. And we're all human beings. We're all subject to double-mindedness. Whether we like it or not, we do not fully understand everything. And there are moments where there's confusion and misunderstanding even. And so we are all subject to double-mindedness. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So remember that. We are weak and we are subject to double-mindedness, but which is an infirmity. But the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we've all been called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for us, and he's called us to be part of his kingdom. And so this should give us confidence, you know, that if there's moments of double-mindedness and kind of toing and froing of which way you should go, either way, if you choose the right way or the wrong way, we still know that all things work together for good. And so we could have that confidence that, yes, we can be single-minded, even if, now I'll try to draw this out with an example of my own life, even if that way ends up being wrong, it's still, you know, the Lord twists it around to his advantage. And just only recently, I was in a situation where there were two ways, and I was double-minded, totally double-minded. It makes you unstable in all your ways. It's true, and it's happened before. And bizarre thing, these two ways kind of converged, like I could see them converging on the same day. And of course, I panicked, and there were people that were impacted by this thing. ended up just thought, okay, I can't do anything. Like, I just have to trust God. But then what happened was one of those ways was completely obliterated, was taken completely out of the scenario. And so the right way was what ended up being blatantly obvious to me. And so we just trust the Lord. That is important, as we read before, have faith in God that the right, like there are two ways open and you're kind of musing on the whole thing, you know, like you just trust the Lord and the right way will become apparent if you trust him. Mark chapter 4. And there are many people as well, you know, that come to a meeting and for the first time and they've been in the Lord for many years, they weren't sure, you know, you know, they're kind of wondering here and there. But at the end of the day, just trust God that he has your best interests at heart. And it's still the case even now. Mark chapter 4 and verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in, this is talking about Jesus, was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so faithful? How is it that you have no faith? So here's that faith thing again. And I like how Jesus was fast asleep. You know, in our life, with our double-minders, as we read before, these waves, you know, wavering about, it's just crashing, why confusion? And you're praying to God and he's fast asleep. Well, we know he's not fast asleep, but it seems like he's fast asleep. And come on, Master, you know, carest thou not, you know, that I'm just, this is driving me insane, all these waves and stuff. But at the right moment, he says, peace be still. And those waves are calmed. And what a relief when that happens. Like, while you're being rocked about, spiritually speaking, wondering what's going on, which way to go, confusion, then when it's all calm and you realise the scales fall off your eyes again, you realise what's the right way to go. And I've seen people very unstable because there have been two ways that are open before them. And those two ways are so different. And because they are so afraid to choose one of those ways because it might be the wrong way. They're just to-ing and fro-ing, and it's really horrible to see that. But where is their faith? Okay, where's their faith in God? And these scriptures that I've just read, you know, that we can get confidence, all things work together for good, and that double-mindedness is a bad thing. You know, if you can somehow lock out of that double-mindedness. And yeah, the tragedy is, you know, when someone is tied up in that confusion, when other people are impacted, you know, and that's where you've got to kind of esteem everyone else more than yourself, you know, to get things sorted out and get that decision made. Over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, just one verse here, in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, and verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we read there about the waves crashing around, but it also can seem like an insurmountable mountain or a wall where you just stop. You can't do anything because this mountain. But all you need is that grain of mustard seed, that faith as a grain of mustard seed. And that mountain or that wall will be removed. And that faith of the grain of the mustard seed just refer back. Okay, Lord, I have to trust you. You know, I just have to trust you. Look to you and pray to you. Wake him up in the back of that ship. Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, it's important that we move on from this brick wall that's in the way. You know, we've got a future to lead. And that grain of a mustard seed faith. That just to know that God answers prayer, God is there, God is alive, and you can call unto him. Just to back it up, over to chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. I love it when it starts with that. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. So there you go. The kingdom of heaven is like this grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in this field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That's that faith of the mustard seed. It starts as a mustard seed, and then it becomes great and so prevalent in your life. You've got these experiences to draw upon. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Okay, so a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump, as it says elsewhere, speaking in a negative sense. But here we're looking at it as a positive sense. A little bit, you sprinkle a little bit in the bread, and it leavens the whole lump. It fills the whole thing. It fills your whole life, you know, and it fills the way you think, your mentality, the way you look at things. It just completes everything, and it just starts with that little bit of mustard seed faith. You know, as we sometimes refer to that mustard seed faith, just grabbing hold of that mustard seed faith and just knowing that, yes, God is there, despite the waves, despite the walls, despite the mountains, despite the confusion, God is always there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Okay, better is the end of the matter. It's better at the end. And another example, you know, when I was double-minded, there were two ways, and I was so determined. Right, I'm single-minded now. I've made up my mind. I'm going down this way and go down that one way. But then in a couple of days after that, it was obvious it was the wrong way. Okay, so you can be... Like, I'd resolved so completely in my mind. I was so single-minded. And then after that, because of my, as a result of the single-mindedness, I was actually tentative to jump onto the other way. You know, I was a bit cautious, you know, because I was so determined. But I trusted God and just went down this other way. But it started being resolved by a single-mindedness, if you know what I mean. I stepped out of the double-mindedness and I was then single-minded. And it was resolved very quickly, within a couple of days. And better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Okay? You might make the wrong decision, but the end of the matter is better. And it is blessed. It's totally blessed. That other way is totally blessed. And... But there's also other times where I've noticed sometimes we do have to incubate. You know, you kind of incubate on an idea. You sit back and you think, oh, okay, we'll just leave it to the Lord. Got to sit back and wonder or muse about what is the right way. But you rest in God. You have that rest. But then what I've found as well over many times, there's things that happen where you've got to act. You know, there's a time where you've got to act, but you've got to be clued into when to act and to stop that incubation period, if you know what I mean. So over to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we all have our own personal experiences of double-mindedness. Understand this thing of the flesh, and we just need to have that faith and trust in God. 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is the great chapter of Elijah standing up and slaughtering the worshippers of Baal. But there's this one verse here at the start in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Okay, they were halt between two opinions. They were double-minded. And he's saying, look, it's one or the other. Be single-minded, whether it's the Lord God or whether it's Baal. And, I mean, they had the prophets there of Baal, and whether the people were of a mind to follow the prophets of Baal, but it quickly became obvious which was the right way to go, was to follow the living God, the Lord God, to give up that double-mindedness, to that confusion. Just to back that up, Revelation chapter 3. So... if there is confusion or wonder, you know, whether it's all true. And praise the Lord, those of us that have been baptized and Spirit-filled, we've experienced that. And we go through our life with moments of double-mindedness, but we can draw on the scriptures and understand that that God is there for us. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Just go back to verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcomes, you know, overcomes these things. And if you can understand, like being hot is like being single-minded for the Lord, being hot for the Lord. And being cold will be, you know, for mammon. It refers to riches there. But if you're cold to the Lord, you're worshipping mammon, you know, unrighteous mammon, the riches of this earth. But the people of Laodicea, which we see now, you know, they're double-minded, they're lukewarm, they're mixing the two. They're mixing the hot and the cold, end up being lukewarm. And that's not a place that God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be confused as to which way, halt between these two opinions. You know, you stop, halt. It's funny how it says halt. Why halt ye between these two opinions? Why you stopped? You know, he wants you to follow him. Be single-minded for the things of the Lord. Have that understanding that he is there. He is there always. We just need that mustard seed faith and to trust him to follow his ways. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained or acquired, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or mature in the things of the Lord, be thus minded. And if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So that's the how gracious God is. You know, even if you're not minded how God wants you to be, even if you are double-minded, you're not single-minded, God will reveal even these things unto you. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Okay, this whole following thing, and forgetting the things which you are behind. Be single-minded. And understand that Jesus is our rock. He is immovable. He's not a wave. You know, the other ideas are a wave and we're distracted and whatever. They are waves. They are unrighteous mammon. You know, that's the cold stuff. We don't want to mix the cold water with the hot. We're hot for the things of the Lord. So let us not be lukewarm, but follow him with a single-mindedness. As the people of Issachar and Zebulun, they were single-minded. They knew what they were going for. They understood times. Praise the Lord, we understand times. We understand, we have got scriptures that have foretold what we see. We see all this stuff around us and we understand times. We can see the machinations that are happening in nations and political areas and so forth. We can understand, we've got this understanding of times. And so let us be single-minded. And when you find yourself in double-mindedness, just rely on the Lord. Okay, it might be a point where you have to incubate and just wait. Just have that faith, that trust in the Lord. But then when there's that decision needs to be made, you know, don't be afraid to make the decision if it might be the wrong one. Because if it's the wrong one, the Lord will still twist it around to his advantage anyway. You know, just relax. It's just amazing. We just rely on him. He's got our future in hand. So just to reinforce it, back to James chapter 1. I want to read the same scripture that I started out with. James chapter 1. Reinforce it in our minds. James chapter 1. And verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, he doesn't scold you, you know, for asking for wisdom. I mean, it's a good thing. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay? Have that in our understanding, that double-minded equals instability, single-minded equals stability, equals solid, relying on the Lord, and you understand that he's got your future in hand and that we can trust him. We can have that faith, even if it is that mustard seed. It all started out as a mustard seed. But that mustard seed faith can get rid of the walls and the mountains, can calm the seas, be still, and we can just sail on into the future looking to him. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Lawrence, who's got the communion.